Thanks, Joel.
Morning, church. Morning. Great to be with you. I love being down here, actually. It's like we're one, you know? What's up, buddy? You're not waving at me, but... As Joel said, Jesus is this series we've entitled, or at least this section of the Gospel of Mark has been entitled, Jesus, Our Guiding Light. And in order for Jesus to guide us, we have to hear him. And this parable is about hearing. And church, brothers and sisters, I hope really, as Tony Evans said, that this message is just an appetizer for the meal that's going to follow. You'll notice here that Jesus is, he said this parable in front of the crowds, right? He gave them an appetizer. And then the main course came for the disciples. So I hope too, I guess my heart for you for this message is that this would just be an appetizer. The main course is coming. And the main course for you is just being able to hear the voice of God in your life. As you read his word, as you pray, as you converse, as you go about your day, that God would minister to you through the power of his spirit and that you would hear from him. Again, this is just an appetizer. The main course is coming. The point of the parable is to hear. The challenge to hear starts and finishes this parable. Notice in verse 3, Jesus emphatically says, listen. Verse 3, he says, listen. And then in verse 9, he says this to finish the parable. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. See, this is a parable about hearing. And what Jesus insinuates by that last line, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear, is that you can have an ear, but not hear. Friends, I believe that God is speaking to you. And the question is, do we have an ear to hear? The simple definition of a disciple here at Eat Free Church is simply this. Hear God, obey what he says, and teach others to do the same. A mark of a disciple is their ability to what? Hear. To have ears to hear. What separates the disciples from the crowd in this parable? Notice verse 10 and 11. When Jesus was alone with them, the 12 and others around him, they asked him about the parable. And Jesus told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. See, brothers and sisters, the disciples had ears to hear. And those ears came out in curiosity. They sought to understand. Jesus, tell me more. I didn't quite get that. I want to hear you. See, what the disciples teach us is that there is a difference between hearing words and understanding the words. Letting the words permeate our lives, our minds, our hearts. See, what separates the crowd from disciples is just that. A disciple has an ear to hear. And this morning, this text is going to challenge us to check our hearing. What Jesus wants us to hear from this parable this morning is the problem that we have with hearing the word of God isn't a problem with the seed, it's a problem with the soil. The problem we have with hearing the word of God is not a problem with the seed. It's a problem with the soil. So we're going to look at that this morning. We're going to start with the seed. And we're going to finish with the soil. What is the seed? Well, verse 14 says this, the farmer sows the word. Jesus says that the seed is the word. So what is the word? Can we understand this to mean the Bible? Yes. Thank you, Joel. The Bible is God's word. If you want to hear from God, get to know God's word. But I don't want to limit hearing God to just the Bible. Why? Because these disciples here didn't have the Bible. Oh. Sure, they gathered in the synagogues, right, and heard the reading of the Old Testament, right? They didn't have a personal Bible that they carried around with them, right? They wrote it, that's right. Amen, brother. They wrote it, that's right. But see, here it's referring to Jesus' teaching, specifically his teaching, the word, the kingdom of God has come. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the word that Jesus would have had in mind here. See, the early church heard. They had an ear to hear God's word, and they heard it through the Spirit of God, through the apostles' teaching, through the oral tradition that was passed down, through prayer, through gathering together. God spoke, just like he does today. The point is, again, God wants to speak to you. His word is how he speaks. And the question is, do we have an ear to hear? The seed is God's word. Here's another observation about the seed from the text here. The seed is designed to grow. God's word is designed to change you, to transform you. A reality that comes up here is the reality that you can know lots about the Bible. You can know a lot about what it says and not have an ear to hear the word of God. Let me explain. Who was Jesus talking to before he told this parable? The Pharisees. Those who opposed and rejected Jesus' word, the kingdom of God has come, repent and believe the good news. If you know something about the Pharisees, they know their word. They know the Old Testament better than any of us. And yet they did not have ears to hear. This should pause us a little bit. See, there's an important distinction here. Brothers and sisters, as disciples, we are called to have a relationship with who? Jesus. God's word there, therefore, is intended to lead, to direct, to transform us into the likeness of Christ. The Bible, therefore, God's word, hear me on this, is not just a bunch of principles and information to know, but a means to foster a relationship. Amen? I don't read the Bible to know the Bible. I read the Bible to know Jesus. The seed is designed to grow. God's word is designed to change you. And perhaps one of the biggest battles that we face in the church today is that we have a lot of people that know a lot about the Bible. They know lots about God's word, but for some reason, they don't look like Jesus. They know a lot about God. They know a lot about his word. But for some reason, they don't look much like Jesus. Indeed, there are a lot of Pharisees in the church today. And as much as I don't want to admit this, I can easily fall into that category myself. And I reject and oppose the word of God because of my self-righteousness and my pride. I'm a Pharisee. Which brings us back to the main point. If God's word isn't changing me, is it a problem with the seed or with the soil? The Pharisees knew the word, but they did not have ears to hear. God's word is not meant for your information. God's word is meant for your transformation. And the question is, have we got our ears checked lately? The seed is designed to grow. Another observation about the seed, I guess, or maybe this is more about the farmer, but here it is. If the seed is meant to grow, why plant the seed on rocky ground or on a path? Idiot, right? Like some of you are farmers in the room, right? Imagine you saw your buddy out there just planting seeds on the road, right? planting seeds in a bunch of weeds, right? Planting seeds on this rocky soil. What are you going to say to him? Hey, Luke, you know, let me just, newsflash. This isn't the best soil to plant the seed, right? Like, you could save yourself a lot of money if you just plant the seed on this soil, because that's where it's going to grow, right? This is actually a beautiful picture of God. What kind of farmer would do that? A farmer who doesn't want anyone to perish, but have eternal life. A shepherd that goes after the one, leaving the 99. One who's willing to do whatever it takes, even if it means being wasteful. Even if it means being humiliated and embarrassed, like dying on a cross. Even though it costs him greatly. And even though he's going to be met with failure after failure after failure, the farmer scatters the seed. This is a picture of the love of God. See, the word has been available, made available to us through who? Jesus Christ. Through his death and through his resurrection. And God wants to have a relationship with us. And he made a relationship available through the cross. And he is speaking to each of us today. The question will be whether we want to receive it. The seed is not earned. It's not deserved. It's given. Amen? Once again, this draws us. What is Jesus pointing at here? Listen, guys, the problem is not the seed. It's the soil. The seed is given. The seed is available. So let's now turn to the soil. Let's read Mark 4, 13 to 20 together. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, they hear the word and at once they receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things come in and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, they hear the word, they accept it, and produce a crop, some 30, some 60, some 100 times what was sown. The problem is not the seed. The problem is the soil. So what's the first soil that Jesus describes for us here? It's the enemy desires to pluck the seed away. The enemy does this by ensuring that our hearts remain hard to the word of God. I can remember, I got to be careful about this, but at A Church. I was part of A Church, and the pastor was quite long-winded, hard to follow at times. I remember sitting in the pews, and I was like, man, get me out of here. Yeah. I'm done, Tim. Oh, that's good, Timmy. Perfect timing. Oh, that's good. I did know this pastor. He was a God-fearing man. Loved God, loved our church. I grew significantly under his leadership. The music at the church was interesting, to say the least. An easy tactic that the enemy uses us to pull us away from God is criticism. And this is how he did it with me. He moved me slowly. He moved me from, I didn't get anything out of church this morning, to becoming very critical of not only the preaching, but every single thing the church did, to becoming cynical. And that's exactly where the enemy wanted me. Because cynicism snatches away the word of God. It makes our heart hard. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive for excellence as the church. I'm not saying that we shouldn't put gifted people up front. Actually, I love seeing non-gifted people up front. But I understand the argument. But what I am saying is this. The problem isn't the seed, it's the soil. And I was cynical. And it didn't matter how gifted or how great our church was. And it was a great church. The soil was not ready to receive the word. I was wondering, imagine Jesus became a pastor at a church in North America. This is kind of funny. How long did he last for in his ministry 2,000 years ago? 3 to 5 years? I wonder if that would be quite short in North America here. Picture Jesus and I'm the board member and Jesus is Jesus. Look, Jesus, we love the miracles, man. Like, we love the miracles when you start out your ministry. But then we've always told you, like, your preaching kind of sucks. Like, your parables, nobody gets them. People leave our church confused and frustrated by the parables. We've warned you about this, and you keep doing it. Right? Or what about this? Man, Jesus, like, crowds were gathering when you first started at our church, and now it's just been a steady decline. And you keep talking about suffering and dying. Like, people are leaving, man. Change it up a little bit. And then you're so preoccupied with that fig tree down the street. Like, I heard that you cursed the fig tree. Like, that's weird, man. Sorry, Jesus, you're fired. Right? Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm being cynical. Okay. The enemy opposed and rejected the word. The enemy wants to oppose and reject it and reject the ministry of Jesus. His goal is to make us critical and cynical and ultimately hard enough that we reject and oppose his word. Very clearly, the enemy did this 2,000 years ago. And he still does it today. See, the problem isn't the seed, it is the soil. How else does Satan try and snatch away the word of God? Well, he lies to us. We see this multiple times in Scripture. One of the lies I think that we believe often is, God doesn't speak to me. And what you hear is that you're not good enough, that you aren't spiritual enough, that you haven't done enough, you're basically not enough. And therefore, God doesn't speak to you because he doesn't want anything to do with you. Does that sound like the word of God? Does that sound like Jesus? One who's made his word available to us? No, it sounds like a lot of shame and a lot of condemnation. Instead of curiosity, instead of a desire to learn like the disciples had, Satan wants to lock us up. He wants to harden our heart in shame and condemnation. God doesn't speak to me. God doesn't want to talk. Another way the enemy lies to us is just simply this. Was that really what God said? I mean, that's right out of Genesis, right? With Eve. Did God really tell you to do that? I had a friend a couple weeks ago, and as he was listening to the sermon, he felt the Lord speak to him. Nudge him. He noticed the passage said this, "Forgive as you have been forgiven." And he sensed the Lord saying to him, he had someone in his life that owed him a sum of money. And he felt the Lord just kind of nudging him, saying, you need to forgive that debt that the person owes you. And so he left church saying, okay, I've heard. The next day, he tells his buddy, and his buddy kind of tells him, well, you know, that's kind of crazy. Like, that's a big debt that person owes you. Like, you could still be super generous and yet still hold your friend to some responsibility for that debt. Makes sense. Friend goes home, tells his wife the new plan. And here's what the wife says. What did God say? And he answered, forgive it all. So then what are you going to do? God was speaking to my friend. God spoke to him through the sermon. He spoke to him through the Bible. He spoke to him through his thoughts. And it was confirmed by who? His wife. Now, I'm not saying that the other friend was Satan. It was actually me. Oh, goodness, Lord, forgive me. Get behind me, Satan. No, just here. But right, the lie, did God really say that to you? Did God really say that? So cynicism, shame, God doesn't speak to me. I'm not good enough. Or did God really say that? These are common ways in which Satan deceives and snatches away the word. Again, it's not the seed. It's the soil. The next soil that Jesus describes is a seed that falls on rocky ground. Verse 16 and 17. Others, like the seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. And when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. What's the problem with this soil? It is shallow. It is faith based on circumstance. There's three words I want you to kind of highlight in your Bible here. Right at the start in verse 1, Jesus says this. It's the shore. So the crowd had gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on a lake. Well, all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. So the people were gathered on the shore. Okay, then skip down to the soil of the rocky places. Some fell on rocky places. This is verse 5. Where it did not have much soil, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. And the last word, so circle that word soil. The last one's in verse 8. Still other seed fell on good soil. And you can circle those three words, shore and then the soil. And remember, he was describing the rocky path where it was shallow and where people will desert. And then he was describing the good soil. Here's the cool thing. The word is the same. Shore, earth, soil, same word. So what the author wants us to see is those crowds that were gathered on the beach, they were receiving the word of God, but the word was falling on the rocky places where people were going to run away when persecution came, and the other one, which it landed in the good soil. And this is exactly what happened. Right, when Jesus went to the cross, how many crowds were surrounding him? They deserted. Another difference between a disciple and the crowd, especially after the resurrection, is it costed them. Following Jesus costed them. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. We don't want to hear that. Right, Tim? As Jeff always says, Jesus will transform your life. He will change everything, but it will cost you everything. This isn't working for me. I'm out. Right? I'm not getting what I want now. I'm out. And God's life-giving, hope-giving, powerful word is rejected for an empty promise or worldview of this world. It's not about the seed. It's about the soil. The third soil is this, verse 18 and 19. Still others, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word. But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and they choke the word, making it unfruitful. The problem with this soil is preoccupation. Too busy to stop and to listen. Brothers and sisters, we live in a culture of noise. Everyone is fighting to be heard. No one wants to listen. And I say this to our young adults often, as humans, we long for identity, for purpose, and for belonging. This is part of being human. The problem is that we are listening and following the wrong voices today. Make no mistake, only God can speak truth and freedom into your life about who you are, where you belong, what you're here for, and where you're going. No material possession or earthly pursuit can give you what only God has showed up to give you. Amen? We desperately need to hear His voice. And yet we choke it out in our lives pursuing worldly things that don't bring us what only God can bring us. Deceitfulness of wealth and the desires of other things will what? Will choke out the Word of God in your life. It's not the seed. It's the soil. What else did Jesus say here? He says, the worries of the world. This isn't easy. This isn't easy. I can remember shortly after my wife was diagnosed with her MS, and a few months later her mom was diagnosed with cancer and she died a few months after that. My wife and I did not want to hear from God. We were hurt. We were angry. We had a lot of questions. And we didn't want to ask. Brothers and sisters, if you could just hear me this morning, God desires to have a personal relationship with you. And He wants you to lament to Him, to express your sorrows to Him, to question Him, to get frustrated with Him. Because He does want to minister to us. He does want to speak hope and healing and care for us and set us free. But this is not easy. It is almost the last thing we want to do. It is too easy and is much simpler to just simply allow the worries and the pain and the hurt in our life to choke out the Word of God. Again, it's not the seed. It's the soil. And the Lord just prompted me in the first service after I said that, because that doesn't sit right with me. There's still some anger and unresolved pain in my life. And just by nudging me there, I feel like God just says, Luke, I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about this hurt and your pain. Because the reality is, it is the seed. It's not the soil. Lastly, Jesus finishes with just a simple call in verse 20. The good soil. Others, like the seed sown on good soil, they hear the word and they accept it. Remember that the word that Jesus was referring to was simply His teaching, the kingdom of God has come. Repent. Repent means turn away from the old way and believe the gospel. Believe the good news. What's the good news? Darkness doesn't win. That Jesus has come to defeat sin, to defeat brokenness, and defeat death. That He has come to give life. He has come to set us free. He has come to renew us. He has come to forgive our sin, to give us hope and a future and security in that. The seed is available to us. Jesus has come to scatter seed. But what this parable reveals here is that many will reject it and they will oppose Jesus' word. They will not repent and believe the good news because their heart is simply too hard. Again, it's not the seed, it is the soil. Look at verse 12, just before the parable of the soil here at the bottom. It says this, they may be seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. See, Jesus is using this passage to make a point. This is quoted right out of Isaiah. And what happened to Isaiah, God just told Isaiah, hey, I want you to preach the word faithfully, even though nobody's going to listen to you because their hearts are too hard. See, Jesus quoted that text to be like, hey guys, you remember when this happened to Isaiah? What do you think's happening now? I'm being opposed. I'm being rejected. I'm going to the cross. It's because people's hearts are too hard to hear the word of God. There's too much pride. They don't want to repent and believe the good news. So what's the response that Jesus is calling us to? Repent. Turn away from. And believe the good news. The good news is not something you earn or deserve. It is something you receive by believing. The good news here, friends, is that soil can be changed. Amen? Soil can be changed. If we repent and believe the good news, that's what the Spirit does. The seed takes root in your life. So I'm just going to encourage us now just to respond. Just to quiet our hearts before the Lord. What's the soil that Jesus is calling to us to? A soil that humbles ourselves. A soil that repents, that turns away from the old way. A soil that simply receives the word. I don't know where you're at this morning, but as we pray here, I wonder if the Spirit just wants to nudge you on some of these soils that we just talked about. Maybe you're like me and you wrestle with being a Pharisee. You're okay with your own sin, but you're not okay with the sins of other people. And you're self-righteous and you're prideful. And the Lord is calling you just to simply repent of that and hear the good news. There is forgiveness and freedom from that. Maybe Satan's just been at work and he's just been snatching the word from you. You've become cynical. You're carrying shame. God doesn't speak to me. I'm not good enough. Nonsense. That's not what the Bible teaches. Or maybe you're just dealing with that lie. Did God really say that? And Satan's just snatching that word. Or perhaps this morning you're like, man, I'm shallow. Like, my faith right now is just based on how I feel. And I feel good right now. But the Bible says that it's going to cost me in the future. And maybe you just need to say, Lord, I want to go deeper. Take me deeper. Or maybe you're preoccupied. You're busy with everything else but the Word of God. You're searching for things of this world to do what only God came to do in your life. You're getting distracted and preoccupied. Perhaps, like me, there is worries and pain and hurt in your life that only God can speak healing and freedom into. And perhaps you just got to come before Him and place that before Him. So let's just spend some time here praying. Let's just spend some time listening. And then I'll close this off. Heavenly Father, thank you for ministering to us through your word. Lord, I'm just overwhelmed with gratitude for that picture of that farmer that just scatters seed. Lord, we don't earn it. We don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. And you came and you gave. Lord, I hate to admit it, but my heart's been hard. I know you want to do some healing in my life and I've been resisting it because it hurts. I know that there's some of my brothers and sisters in here too that can relate to that. So Father, I just pray that you would do what only you can do through the power of your Spirit. Father, I pray that you would set us free, that you would bring the life that only you have to offer. Man, Lord, I pray for curiosity again, like those disciples had, where they just wanted to know you and understand your word and just seek you, Father. Lord, oh man. Father, here we are as a people that have repented. And Lord, we know your gospel. We have been forgiven. So God, we now stand in that. God, we're not standing in our past. We're not standing in shame. We're not standing on these lies that we believe. We're standing here on the truth that you have proclaimed, that you have come into this world to set people free, Jesus. So Father God, do what only you can do. And I pray that this would just be an appetizer for what you have for us this week, Jesus. Minister to us, speak to us, God. You are a good God. Thank you, Lord. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.